The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
J.J. Watt has chosen his team. He'll be an Arizona Cardinal.
Wow.
Source, me.
He now gets to follow DeAndre Hopkins, who went from Houston to Arizona.
This is a huge signing.
The one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud.
This is the first of many moves to come for them.
I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea, so let's get started.
J.J. Watt officially in Arizona. More coming on Watt, including, does this addition make the Cardinals a legit contender in the NFC West and beyond? Plus, why the Ravens have to get Lamar Jackson one key piece if they want different outcomes in the playoffs? Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. So glad you're here with us. You see him right here. Kimberly Martin, Ryan Clark, and Marcus Spears here today. Let's get right to it. Back to J.J. Watt. As I said, he has arrived in Arizona and officially signed with the Cardinals. 2 years, $31 million, 23 of it guaranteed for the veteran. He'll continue to wear number 99 after getting permission from the daughter of Cardinals legend Marshall Goldberg. That number 99 retired, of course. Now Watt gets to honor a grade and keep his number. Here's the new Cardinal today on one of the reasons he decided to sign there.
The longer I looked at it, the more it just signs kept pointing back down here. You know, there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down here in Arizona. I've always said in this league, you have to have a quarterback to have a chance, and there's a young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do big things and is going from year two to year three and can take an even bigger jump to continue to grow and progress. And I've obviously seen his career. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an incredible athlete, and what he's been able to accomplish, he's been a winner at every stage of his life, and that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in a text, I said, I'm here because I believe in you. And so I'm here. You have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and he's our guy, and I'm looking forward to going out there and playing with him.
All right, let's go, Kyler Murray. And by the way, if you think J.J. Watt is over the hill, you may want to think again. Last season, Watt ranked 8th in pass rush win rate and 6th in run stop win rate among edge defenders. He did so despite being double teamed at the highest rate of any edge rusher on pass plays last season. He was actually one of just 2 edge defenders to rank in the top 10 in both areas, along with NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young. Good company there. Watt joins fellow star pass rusher Chandler Jones in Arizona. He tweeted yesterday after the signing that he feels bad for Russell Wilson. Of course, the Seahawks quarterback has already said this offseason he's frustrated with being hit too much. Now Jones, alongside Watt, will only look to increase that frustration. Sorry, Russ. Hey, Kimberly, is there a sense around the league that Watt can still contribute in a major way?
Yeah, Laura, I mean, there are several teams that were interested in him. So clearly, people in the league think this guy can still play. He's a good player. Are you getting J.J. Watt, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 2021? Probably not, but still good enough. The issue, though, is that the other suitors felt he was good, but didn't feel like losing out to J.J. Watt would mean that they lost out on a Super Bowl. They never felt that they were just a J.J. Watt player away from going to the Super Bowl. The medical, huge issue. You know, the question of, is this a guy that can play 16 games for you? Is he a guy that's going to be, you know, in the training room most of the week and then, you know, getting ready for Sunday? You know, he's only played 16 games twice out of the last 5 seasons. But still, that said, very good player. However, Chandler Jones, how many games did he play last year? 5. Who is their sack leader? Hassan Reddick, who's about to be a free agent. So this is a good situation for J.J. Reddick. J.J. Reddick, goodness. J.J. Watt. But, I mean, the money was nice. And this is a team that's on the rise, but I don't think this is a piece. I don't think most people think this is a piece that takes them over the top.
Right. Yeah, I'm with Kimberly on that. Like, I don't necessarily believe that this gets this team to a Super Bowl. They definitely weren't a J.J. Watt away from the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. This team didn't make the playoffs and probably overachieved a little bit in the beginning of the season. You win some games with the Hail Mary and some of those things. And so this team has to get better holistically. It wasn't just adding J.J. Watt. But this does give them a sub package that can rush the quarterback at a very high clip if Chandler Jones is healthy. J.J. Watt can move to the end inside. We've seen him bounce around to different places on the defensive line while at Houston, but there's so much more that the Arizona Cardinals need to do. I will say what this move signified to me, that J.J. Watt wasn't trying to win-win. J.J. Watt wasn't in one of those situations where he was like, it's championship or nothing. He wanted some money. He wanted to be in a place where he could continue to excel individually, and I think that's what brings him to Arizona more than the ring and more than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, no doubt. But, like, both of the points are spot on. J.J. Watt is not going to make the Arizona Cardinals a Super Bowl contender. He's going to make them better, though. And when you look at the familiarity, he talked about everything kept pointing down. Vance Joseph is the defensive coordinator who was around J.J. Watt when he was winning one of those defensive player of the years and playing in Wade Phillips' system where they do it. You see a lot of similarities in that defense. And the other thing is this. Like, J.J. Watt, we saw the stat about him being double team number one in the league in double teams. That's because in Houston, he didn't play with anybody. If him and Chandler Jones are on the field, J.J. Watt is going to have a major impact on games because offensive lines and offensive coordinators can't just scheme to stop J.J. Watt from wrecking the game. Think about all of the teams we talked about him coupling with. All right, we talked about Kansas City. I said put him opposite of Chris Jones and Frank Clark. Talked about Cleveland, opposite of Myles Garrett. We talked about Pittsburgh, opposite of his brother, obviously, T.J. Watt. You take the pressure off of J.J. Watt at this point in his career. It's just, I liken it to a guy I played with, DeMarcus Ware. When he went to Denver, he was not the focus. It was Von Miller. So in turn, DeMarcus Ware ended up in double-digit sacks and continued to solidify the Hall of Fame type of player he was. This is the opportunity J.J. Watt has in Arizona if his guys are healthy. And I expect Arizona to make some more moves as far as solidifying their defensive front and trying to find guys that can be effective. But don't get it twisted. If J.J. Watt finds a lot of games where he's singled up with an offensive lineman, he will end this season with double-digit sacks, and we'll all be talking about it was so worth it to bring him aboard.
Yeah, Marcus, you brought up something really interesting that J.J. Watt may be like the beginning of what Arizona is doing here. In this offseason, they may look at the fact that they've got Kyler Murray on a rookie contract. We all know that that's the best time to go out and spend some money. Mm-hmm. And maybe they feel like this is their window of opportunity, even though in a very tough NFC West, how much are you going to make? You're not going to make a lot of hay, like maybe right this second, but they're still going to try. All right, with Watt off the board now, let's take a look at some of the biggest defensive free agents out there. And Marcus, who do you like?
Oh, you already know. It's Shaq Barrett for me. Look, we all know what the big prize is going to be in free agency when you start talking about pass rushers. It's Shaq Barrett. And recency matters. And what we recently saw him do in the playoffs is going to continue to keep Shaq Barrett in the conversation to get a crazy amount of money when he hits the free agent market. Tampa is hoping they can get him locked up. He's a big part of what they want to do. But Shaq Barrett is going to be that dude on the market.
I like it, Marcus. Another guy that bears watching, Bud Dupree. There's a reason his teammates were in tears when he was lost for the season with an ACL tear. Yeah. And he's going to be a coveted free agent this offseason. I mean, 19 and a half sacks the past 2 years. It would have been more had he not torn his ACL. He is a great guy who can rush the passer. He can stop the run. And he can be a nice one for a 1-2 punch for another team like Tennessee.
Listen, all you guys are talking about rush, rush, rush. We're going to get to the quarterback. Well, let's talk about a dude like Justin Simmons that picks the football off. This is an all-pro. This is a pro bowler. He had the franchise tag last year, and he came up, and he showed up and showed out the entire season. Justin Simmons is long. He's rangy. He's a leader on the back end, and somebody's going to get them a fantastic player if the Denver Broncos can't lock him up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back here on NFL Live, and Tua's start in Miami had its ups and downs, the usual for a rookie quarterback, right? But one way to make things a whole lot better next season is to add some weapons, and there's a player in this draft that Tua is very familiar with. Najee Harris, in fact, was with him in the same recruiting class. They arrived at Bama at the same time, an immediate connection. So Tua making a case for Najee to be a Dolphin.
He's a well-rounded running back. He's very athletic. He can run. He can make a man miss. He can power through someone. And then he's very good in the pass game, not just with his catching, but I think what's overshadowed, by his success with the catches and the runs is his blocking. He's going to be a fun guy to watch like this upcoming season. So I'm excited to see him. Hopefully we're on the same team. Who knows?
It should come as no surprise that Tua Tagovailoa would want his former Alabama teammate in Miami with him. You see it there last season. The Dolphins averaged the third lowest yards per rush after contact in the NFL, ahead of only the Falcons and Lions. And how about this? No one was better at forcing missed tackles than Najee Harris last season, leading the FBS with 100 forced missed tackles, 21 more than the next closest player. Look to the right side of your screen there. You see that insane hurdle from the Rose Bowl. Maybe he could recreate some of that at the next level. So, Ryan, the Dolphins have 3 picks in the first 35. Where do you think they should focus their picks there?
You need to focus your picks on making sure your number one pick from last year is protected and that he has weapons. You know, I know you're going to see a lot of guys talking about the wide receivers in this draft. There's Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith. There's also Jalen Waddle. But I'm looking at Penei Sewell as a guy who's can't miss at the offensive tackle position. And we know how important protecting your quarterback is. We know how important it is for a guy like Tua that's been injured. And now you can get weapons later on in the picks, whether it's 18 or at 35. And so if you're the Miami Dolphins, your biggest thing to me is making sure Tua Tagovailoa is on the field because he's healthy and protected. And then secondary is getting him someone to get the football to, whether it's Najee Harris or one of these great young wide receivers. He has to have weapons if he's going to thrive and progress.
RC, I'm with you, and I just would do it in reverse. I would take the receiver. This is a twofold plan, though. Like, we also have to have Deshaun Watson as a part of this conversation because the Dolphins have the draft capital that we think could potentially get Deshaun Watson. Yeah. First, let me focus on Tua. I would draft Jamar Chase, and then I would focus on solidifying the offensive line. Now, you could say that's backwards, and I understand the allure of Penei Sewell, but I have Penei Sewell going second to the Jets because they're going to try to solidify with him and Mekhi Becton. So I'm taking the wide receiver outside of Devontae Parker to give Tua the weapons that he's used to having when we've seen him thrive at the level in which we thought he would turn into a real good, solid franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. The other part of this plan, if I get Deshaun Watson, okay, I can afford potentially not to have to create all of these weapons around him. Obviously, I want to have guys. I want to have a number one receiver for sure. I think Devontae can be that with Deshaun Watson adding to his ability. I love Gesicki. I think Gesicki is magnified with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. So if we're talking about keeping Tua, you absolutely use these drafts to get him a weapon, I think, first, and then solidify this offensive line. And now you try to just build pieces within. And look, the general manager, Greer, has done a tremendous job at building this roster and getting them to the point they want to be. So it needs to be two levels of thinking, y'all. That's my point.
Hey, listen, I understand that, Marcus, but are you going to be the person that's going to call the Houston Texans and get them out of denial or make them non-delusional? Because right now, they are – if I can't take a hint was an organization, that would be the Houston Texans. Because Deshaun Watson, he done unfollowed you, he blocked you, he making sure you can't come in his neighborhood, and you are still outside stalking him, trying to wait for him to come home to be back in the relationship. And so you have to work on that first. The thing you need to think about
home
when getting Deshaun Watson is what do we have to give up? Do we have to give up Tua Tagovailoa, who I think would be a part of it? Which draft picks do we give up? And so now you have to make sure that Deshaun is protected and that Deshaun has weapons as well, because we saw what that defense could do. And if you add the Deshaun Watson that played last year, even on a 4-win Houston Texans team, then Flores and the Miami Dolphins can be extremely tough outs in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about Tua, guys, if he does stay in Miami, is that he knows so many of these Alabama players that are projected first-round picks. So there's a familiarity with a lot of them. You mentioned DeVonta Smith, Najee Harris, of course, as well, at the beginning of that discussion. In other Dolphins news, they are moving on from linebacker Kyle Van Noy. Van Noy has not officially been released yet while the team explores the trade market, a source told ESPN. Remember, Van Noy signed a four-year, $51 million contract last offseason that included $30 million guaranteed, but this move would save Miami $9.75 million in cap space. Andrew Van Ginkle likely moves into a larger role there.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Saints are still waiting on an official decision from Drew Brees about his potential retirement. And as they do, they're forced to watch Brees post videos like this of his workouts on social media. Now, if Brees does retire, you'd have to think that the talk in New Orleans would continue to center around trying to get Russell Wilson. Drew Brees looking swole either way. Wilson has told the Seahawks that he wants to play in Seattle, but that if a trade were considered, the only teams he would want to go to are the ones you see there, the Cowboys, Bears, Raiders, and Saints. Saints six-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan was on Get Up this morning. Marcus and RC peppering him with the tough questions on Wilson. Take a listen.
Cam, Russell Wilson to the Saints. Are y'all winning the damn Super Bowl, man?
Look, that's a good question. Anytime. I think anytime the last couple of years you've looked at our defense, we've turned a page in our defense that have made us more complimentary towards our team as a whole. And the one thing we had been lacking, you know, prior to the last couple of years was our defense. Now, if you give us a guy like Russell Wilson because Drew has retired, because he has deemed it so fit, I would take Russell Wilson in a heartbeat. That's, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Do you win the Super Bowl?
I think we've always been poised the last 4 years.
Do you win the Super Bowl?
So, absolutely.
I mean, y'all were being tough on Cam. I love it. The hard questions with RC and Marcus. Watch out. RC, you were there. What did you make of his comments?
Well, you know, Marcus and I were doing our best Laura Rutledge impersonations and trying to ask the hard-hitting questions that the people wanted to know. And you know what? It felt like Cam didn't want to diss none of the homeboys. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I look at the schedule and I see that Marcus is going to be on the show, I try to hold my excitement because I'm like, man, this is going to be a hell of a show. And so I try to hold my excitement so the other people that work on NFL Live don't get mad at me. That's what Cam was trying to do because he knows if they get Russell Wilson, they are a different team. This team was a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Cam didn't want to say it, but when he was saying, you know what, I feel like our defense has come along and now we're more complimentary. You know what he wanted to say? We were good enough on defense. Our quarterback did not play well enough in the playoffs for us to get to the Super Bowl. And yes, if we have Russell Wilson, we gonna win that thing. He didn't want to say it, so me and Marcus had to bring it up out of him or just say it for him. If they get Russell Wilson, you can write it down. Write it down. The same way Tampa Bay was elevated by Tom Brady, so would the New Orleans Saints if they had Russell Wilson at the helm.
Snaps.
Okay, so listen. Why I love this dude. Why I love working with y'all. Why I love working with Kim and Laura Rutledge love working with you because this is where we bring people into our family. All right? Snapping is a reflection of a poet doing a masterful job. That's what Rand Clark was just doing, okay? Jennifer Hudson throws her shoe when people sing they face off on the show she on. So I'm just applauding my boy. And here's the answer. Here's what we were waiting for Cam to say because Cam is not lying. If Russell Wilson joins the New Orleans Saints and they don't have to sell everything to get him, they become the front runners in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. For me, when you look at this team and how it's currently constructed, it was constructed to make a Super Bowl run. And look, I know people in Louisiana are gonna get mad, but me and Ryan from Louisiana, we don't care. Look, Drew Brees was not good enough this year or in previous years to get you over the hump in those particular games. It was Kirk Cousins being outplayed, then Brady outplayed him. Russell Wilson to the Saints, They my favorites to go to the Super Bowl, cuz.
Hey, listen, I was going to throw my shoe pre-show when Marcus was singing before we came on the air, but I couldn't get it off my foot. Okay, Kyler Murray was on Jalen and Jacoby and was asked if he liked players taking control of their careers, like we're seeing here, forcing their way out of situations. Take a listen to what Kyler Murray said.
I'm kind of for it in a sense where, like, you know, I'm a big NBA fan, and you see the NBA and you see, you know, all these guys going, you know, team to team. Obviously, I don't think the NFL will ever get to that type of situation, but, you know, I feel like, you know, once you give your all, or you felt like, you know, individually, if you feel like you've given your all to an organization and you feel like they're not, you know, handling situations correctly or, you know, putting you in the best situation to succeed, then I understand why dudes get frustrated. You know, this is our livelihood. This is what we put, you know, all our hard work in for, is to win Super Bowls. And, man, if you feel like you're not being put in those situations to do that, then guys are going to be frustrated. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, this frustration and how players are choosing to use it to be empowered isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Kimberly, what do you make of a star quarterback like Kyler Murray making those comments?
Laura, I love it. Because what do organizations want their players to do? Buy in, to be loyal, to put their best interests, you know, to the side for the good of the team. But a lot of times, front offices, you know, they don't honor contracts. When they're done with you, they're done with you. And sometimes they're done before you want them to be done. So if any player, now it's got to be the stars, I understand, they got the most juice. But if these QBs, these star QBs start saying, you know what? I don't like where this franchise is headed. And it's my face that fills seats. It's my face that makes fans and young kids want to play football. Granted, GMs are great. They make the moves, but they're not filling stadiums. It's the players. So when players like Kyler Murray, somebody as young as him, when guys like Deshaun Watson are saying, you know what? I was with you until I wasn't, and now I need a situation that betters my situation, I'm all for it because you see organizations doing the same thing.
Kim hit the nail on the head with what she's talking about. And I think this is layered, y'all. I think there's more layers to this. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's great that Kyler Murray acknowledges that, understands that quarterbacks that are older than him are paving the way. Two quarterbacks that we still mm-hmm. consider very young. Carson Wentz asked for a trade out, got what he wanted. We saw Eli Manning. We saw Aaron Rodgers hint at things and start. Mm-hmm. We start trying to speculate on that. The bottom line is this, and Laura, you remember L Boogie? I had to ask Dan, is it not a thing where quarterbacks are involved in the decision making? I always thought that was the case, and I played in the league. I did not know. I thought it was understood that these guys were taking more of a value than just going out and performing. Mm-hmm. Second layer to this, I love the fact that they acknowledge it. Like, oh, I see where this organization is going, and it's not good. It's not conducive for mm-hmm. success. And the success of a team trickles down from the head coach to the quarterback. They own more of that responsibility based on how their franchise is doing over a period of time. I'm not just talking about one season. And then the other part, it's black quarterbacks that's doing it, which for a long storied history in this league, black quarterbacks just go play. We gonna handle everything else. And you just hope we putting you in the best situation because they were grinding to change the narrative about if they could play the position, period. So now you're seeing the evolution mm-hmm. of sports, the evolution of the position, and the evolution of black quarterbacks having more of an impression on how these franchises operate. And I'm here for it all.
Yeah, I think it's moving that way, and we can start talking about black quarterbacks because there's more of them in the league. When you start thinking of the top tier of quarterbacks, and you think Deshaun Watson, you think Patrick Mahomes, and you think Russell Wilson, and now you add Lamar Jackson to that, Kyler Murray coming up, with the game changing and the requirements of the position in order to excel, we are getting more black quarterbacks, and we're starting to see them take control of their career. But Kyler Murray did the right thing, and here's why. Because eventually Kyler Murray might be in that position. Kyler Murray might be a guy who's a pro bowler or an all pro on a team that can't win football games. So he's supposed to say this. He's supposed to support his brother. And we talked this morning a little bit with Dominique about the quarterbacks club, right? And the quarterbacks club was a group of quarterbacks that got together to cross the picket lines. And because the NFL understood that once we get those guys, we have the league. And so now that quarterbacks are taking controls of their careers, we start thinking to ourselves, oh, this is a big deal. But guys, think Jalen Ramsey, Jamal Adams, these are also people who don't play the quarterback position that controlled where they went, that got an opportunity to get out of bad situations with organizations. This is more than just the quarterbacks, but this is the new age of sports and the powerful athlete.
Yeah, and let me just remind everyone, you know, for those out there who say, well, Deshaun Watson needs to just accept the money that he was given by the Houston Texans and move on, this is a guy that saw DeAndre Hopkins traded away, then asked for some sort of input in the hiring process for the GM and the head coach, was given none of it, found out about the news later on after it already happened, and then now the Texans try to repair the situation after the fact. Deshaun Watson went through a long period of time being patient, continuing to get beat up on the field because they weren't surrounding him with the correct people around him to give him the best opportunity for success. So this was a long time coming for Deshaun and a long time coming for these other quarterbacks who are making their mindset known about what they want to get to. Let's get to some more news here. The five-year-old girl injured in the last month's car crash involving former Chiefs assistant Britt Reid is still unable to speak or walk and likely has permanent brain damage. This according to Tom Porto, an attorney for the girl's family, who spoke with ABC's Good Morning America. Porto says the girl, Ariel Young, is awake, something he called a huge development, but also said she's likely to endure the brain injury for the rest of her life. Police are still investigating the February 4th car crash and have not yet filed charges against Reid, but Young's family will, quote, be advocating for the most serious charges and the most serious sentence that Britt Reid could ever receive, according to Porto. More NFL Live after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And on this date, 3 years ago, Lamar Jackson made a case for himself that ended up being more important than most realized at the time. Here's a reminder.
No, sir, I'm a quarterback. I play Lamar Jackson ball. Breaking walls, it's a new day. Gotta
move a little quicker just to get away. Now, this is unbelievable.
Jackson to throw.
Touchdown, the Hayes in the bar.
Lamar Jackson.
He's spectacular.
This is that chain and I break. Watch how I shake and I bang. I get lost. You can't hold me. This is what I do.
Not bad for a running back.
Not bad for a running back. I love it. All right, Lamar Jackson has quickly proven his doubters wrong at the next level. In fact, the 2019 MVP ranks second among all quarterbacks in total QBR over the last two seasons, behind only Patrick Mahomes. And he's shown he can get it done with his arm just as much as his feet, throwing the fifth most touchdowns while averaging the 10th most air yards per pass attempt since the start of the 2019 season. I mean, this guy only won the Heisman and then had so much success at the college level. People still doubted him, didn't think that it could necessarily work at the next level. And you heard what he said at the Combine 3 years ago. Kimberly, you were actually in Indy then. What was the reaction to what Lamar said at the time?
I know I personally walked away from the podium thinking, that kid's got it. He gets it. And he knows who he is. Because a lot of the criticisms about him leading up to the draft, I thought the questions, a lot of them were rude. I thought they were thinly veiled racist shots, to be quite honest. And the fact that he stood up and said, I know what I am. I'm a quarterback. So you guys aren't going to tell me who I am on the football field. And I love that the Ravens, now we can say that they haven't done just enough, but I love that they chose him and then and then try to, they're trying to build around his skill set. There's a lot of work to be done, but still, the fact that, you know, the question of whether Lamar has revolutionized the quarterback position, I don't think he's done all that. I think Lamar is just another example of how QB scouting has changed, how that has evolved, because no longer do you look at guys and say, oh, he uses his feet, ugh. Like, I don't want any of that. I need a guy who's going to stand and be a statue in the pocket. Nobody's looking for that anymore. And I, so, you know, yeah. Steve Young, McNair, like Colin Kaepernick, like Deshaun, Patrick Mahomes, Russell, like Josh Allen, you know, like Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. It's not just a black-white thing. Like, God, using your feet is now an asset. But QBs will always be judged on how quickly they read a defense and how accurate they are. So that, I think that's the litmus test. And so we need to see Lamar make improvements. But overall, I mean, what the Ravens have done with him is impressive, but they still have room for improvement.
Yeah, listen, this is about, this conversation for me is always fascinating. Number one, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson can do everything you need a guy to do at the quarterback spot to win a championship. Let me put that disclaimer out there for everybody. But it has to be evolved. There has to be a push by the Baltimore Ravens to make sure that they're forcing Lamar Jackson into certain positions of uncomfortability to bring that part of his game out. We know he's dynamic with his legs. We know he's dynamic with his arms. But the Ravens owe it to Lamar Jackson to continue to evolve this offense. And L Boogie, you know I've been screaming this since the beginning of last season. If they continue on this path that they on, if they continue to run the same offense along with Lamar Jackson's exact skill sets as they are right now, they will win a lot of regular season games and they will not win a Super Bowl playing this way. That's the reality, okay? That's not saying make Lamar Jackson a pocket passer. That's not saying build an offense where he just stand there and you got all of these weapons to distribute the ball to. Somebody tell me who on the Ravens team at wide receiver do we consider a one in this league? No one. And that's because of Lamar Jackson's fascinating skill set. So why I give them credit for what they've done to build around his skill set, now it's time to push it further. Now it's time to get in longevity conversation. Now it's time to say, when we need this from you in these games, this is what we're going to go to in order to win this particular game or this playoff game. It's a lot like LeBron James to me. When we talked about LeBron early in his career, people said he couldn't shoot. So he evolved. He went, put the work in, became a good shooter. They said he couldn't post up. He went and worked with Hakeem Olajuwon, learned how to post up.
Yeah.
Then the offense, then the coach, Eric Spoelstra in Miami said, hey, we want to create this new position called point forward because this is going to give us the best opportunity to win. That doesn't mean don't be LeBron James. That just means in times we're going to call upon you to do something different. That's Lamar Jackson, a skill set that's not closely contested by anyone, and his team and organization needs to evolve in order to push him to the level he can go.
Man, I was right there with you. I was like, ooh, my dog killing it. He giving it to him. And then you said he was like LeBron James. That's not true. Because when LeBron James came into the league, he was King James. All he had to prove and all we knew was it was going to take some time, but eventually it would be his league. That's not Lamar Jackson. You heard what Kimberly said. The questions were borderline rude because they didn't believe in him. They didn't think that skill set would work. I think sometimes the unfamiliarity of the way he sounded was an issue. Lamar Jackson isn't stupid. Lamar Jackson can process. The issue is that they are not creative in the pass game. He can't just sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Watching the Buffalo Bills play the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round last year was mind-numbing to me. This was the most simplistic passing offense I'd ever seen. One-man routes, two-man routes, obvious pass formations. If they don't get creative, if they don't add a number one, he will not win a championship. They will not win a championship. And the issue issue will be this. They will all point to Lamar Jackson and say it was his skill set for the reason they didn't win. His lack of a passing game, his lack of accuracy. So if they don't get creative and figure out a way to do that with Lamar Jackson, they will waste his unbelievable talent, and it will be a sad, sad story.
It actually reminds me of a tape breakdown that our colleague Dan Orlovsky did on this show, showing the Ravens using the exact same play out of the exact same formation in the first half and the second half, opening play of both of those halves, and it didn't work either time. So they've got to make those changes. All right, so how about Trevor Lawrence? He just had his surgery, of course, on his non-throwing shoulder. You see some photos there of him rehabbing, expected to be totally good to go by the start of next season and expected to be picked by the Jaguars. ESPN draft analyst Mel Kiper, senior draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr., answered some fans' questions about the 2021 NFL draft, including ranking the top 10 quarterbacks from this year and last year's draft classes. Really interesting. These rankings are based on Kiper's pre-draft grades for each guy, which has Lawrence coming in at number one, just ahead of Joe Burrow there. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Justin Herbert comes in at number four behind Tua and just ahead of BYU's Zach Wilson. So this got us thinking, Marcus, if you were starting a franchise right now, you could have any of these quarterbacks and you have the information that you have about all of them, right? So it's an even playing field, at least from that standpoint. Who would you choose?
Ailes, answer the question so I can get into my analysis.
You're going to take Joe Burrow, but I yes. kind of wanted you to say it, but fine. Go ahead. Yeah.
Like, all right, let's get into this.
LSU
all right, it's
people,
Joe Burrow
I can't.
For me. All right, now, yeah, for real. Say what you will, LSU, you biased, you a homer, all of that. Whatever. Y'all know I don't give a damn about that. I crush LSU when they suck too. The bottom line is this. Joe Burrow, what he did his senior year in college was the best I've ever seen a quarterback play football in college. It was literally the best I've ever seen a quarterback play in college football. That one year, after having one year, he came into LSU, did not have a preseason with the team, started, took that position. Then the next year, we saw him go off the charts. But let's forget about LSU. Do y'all know the offensive line that Joe Burrow was playing against this year? I mean, with this year? Do y'all realize Joe Burrow had Cincinnati in every game against teams that were far superior to them because of his skill set? Do we also know that Joe Burrow, compared to all of these other quarterbacks on this list, outside of Justin Herbert, he beat them? So I'm starting with him. It's more about his intangibles. It's more about how he's made and how I see guys respond. But I need to give everybody else time to talk about their guy.
Yeah, you know, really fast. I am not necessarily an LSU person. I would also choose Joe Burrow, but it's close for me between Burrow and Justin Herbert. RC, you are another LSU guy. Who are you starting your franchise with if you could choose one of these young quarterbacks?
Justin Herbert, you know, I'm so sick of these LSU guys not being able to cut off their college ties and wearing purple coats
you
on different
changed.
Shows and smoking cigars after LSU beat Clemson. I mean, have some class, guys. Oh, my goodness. But listen, when I wasn't a huge Justin Herbert fan when he was coming out of Oregon. I was one of those guys that said that it would take a while. Lies I told, because it didn't take a while at all. From the first time we saw him when he replaced Tyrod Taylor against the Kansas City Chiefs, he was amazing. He stood toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and then we watched him do the same thing with Tom Brady. We saw him in prime time against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, and every opportunity that he got, not playing behind a stellar offensive line, that skill set showed up. And I know Marcus talked about the intangibles of Joe Burrow, and I love those things. I love the leadership. I love the way that he has the locker room galvanized because of the way he goes about his work. I do not care, because I love the way Justin Herbert runs. I love the way he throws the football. I love the way he competes. I will teach you to give a speech pregame, but I sure can't teach the things that we saw him do on Sunday. I'm taking Justin Herbert.
And by the way, I think when all the draft process was over, we all realized that Justin Herbert probably had a whole lot more to offer mentally than we realized, and maybe from a leadership standpoint as well. All right, so we got to vote for Burrow. We got to vote for Herbert. Kimberly, what are you doing here? If you could start a franchise with any of these young quarterbacks, who are you taking?
So I don't get paid the big bucks like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, so I'm no draft guru. But here's what I do know. Urban Meyer, that man could have coached in the NFL at any time. Instead, he was on TV. Now, all of a sudden, Urban Meyer comes to the NFL to, of all places, Jacksonville. And I ask you guys, family, why would he do that? One reason. That number one pick, Trevor Lawrence.
It's a hell of a point.
Here's the guy that's being, that draft gurus and everybody was saying, this is going to be the next Andrew Luck. He is as sure a prospect as you will ever see. This guy has it all. Accuracy, deep ball accuracy. This guy, you want him to throw people open. You want him to stand in the pocket. You want him to run around. He can make plays. Now, RC made a good point in our production meeting about the NFL is different. It's built for different guys. When you go to a team that's rebuilding and things aren't going right, do you have the stomach to handle? Like, I've never lost so much in my life. I can't handle this. All these top picks, all these QBs have had to deal with that. That might be something that Trevor Lawrence might have to deal with. But Urban Meyer did not come to the NFL to lose. He did not come here to fail. So that tells you a lot about what he thinks of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, real fast.
Ailes.
What?
It sounds a lot like they describing Joe Burrow to me.
Yeah, it kind
of
does.
That sounds like a lot of Joe Burrow.
And by the way, Joe Burrow had to lose a lot more than he was used to losing, too, when he went to the Bengals. I would also ask if Urban Meyer has the stomach for all those losses. All right, it's time for one more thing before we go. And for this, let's just observe Myles Garrett being an absolute beast. How about this box jump? Stop it.
Come on,
that's 4 feet 8 inches tall. And he's just doing it like it ain't no big thing. Marcus, what's your box jump opportunity? Like, where would you be if you were to try that?
17 centimeters. 17 centimeters is my box jump. And RC, y'all ain't doing everything right. If people ain't jumping 5-foot box jumps at your facility,
yeah, come on,
y'all better get some athletes.
Get out of the workout.
RC.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.